On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cutting sheet, Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. I am Ron Van Dam. In a police lineup, I'd be the third from the end. Only kidding, I'm the second from the end. See, you didn't even know. So quick to accuse. Program. Make yourself comfortable. I mean, it's the least you can do under the circumstances. Thank you so much for being here. You are a special person. You take that kind of bus. Hey, don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood to agree with you, and I'm not in the mood to argue with you. I love it when, I think it's in sports, they have this phrase that I don't understand. To this very day, I don't understand this phrase. They're arguing about how good a player is. I don't care if it's football, baseball, badminton, volleyball, shuffleboard, whatever. But they're arguing about how good the player is, and one person will say the other, he's arguably the best player on the team. And I don't understand what that means. If you're making a case for this guy being the best player on the team, then it's arguably, that means, well, we can argue about it. Maybe he's not the best. Maybe we should argue about this. Something may come out of it. If you really feel that the player is that good, you would say not he's arguably the best player, but he's without argument the best player. That would be more definitive. So I don't understand this pansy, lazy kind of, he's arguably, argue with me. You could change my mind. He's not that good. I don't understand that. Who made up that phrase? Am I missing something here? Sometimes I'll go to bars, not just for the drinks, because they're the same at every bar. Pretty much. They put stuff in a glass, you drink it, and you're mildly enthused. Drinking's all the same. It doesn't really matter. But sometimes I'll go to a sports bar just because I like to go to places where I just really don't fit in whatsoever. I'm not into sports. I watch some sports, but I never discuss sports as if there is so much to talk about and I'm going to tout the characteristics of a certain player or if a team has the ability to eat a sandwich. I don't know what to talk about with sport. I'll watch it, but I don't think it's the kind of thing you should discuss. People actually bet on games. I can see that somewhat, although there's really nothing to it because it's all a matter of luck. It's kind of stupid as well. But we've done stupider things with our money, haven't we, huh? Like throwing money out at the window, huh? We've done that. On a nice day, you open up the window, you throw some money out, makes you feel good on a nice, clean day. Anyway, so sports, I'm not into it, man. Just saying, not into it. I'll talk about anything else, but not that. So sometimes I'll go to a sports bar and I'll just sit there and I'll listen to the conversations. And I watch these people get so heated up over it, as if it's the demise of our country, or their lives have been threatened. They are so hot about it, man. And not hot in the sense that, ooh, look at her, she's hot. Not that kind of hot. Hot like annoyed and angry. They start yelling at each other, and they raise their voice in order to be heard quicker and louder. You're just talking about sports, my friends. Calm down. Calm down. And don't feel sorry for these team members because they lost a game. Are you kidding me? They get paid like $70 million to sit on the bench. Are you kidding me? Sports teams, my ass. I'm not thrilled about it because I think they're paid way too much money. I mean, come on, man. In 1 year, make more than anybody's seen in their lives if you're a common office worker. I mean, I have no pity for them. But Ron, you know, they really take some battering, you know, physically. They, you know, they're paid a lot of money, but their careers are short. And, you know, they have a lot of injuries that they live with. Oh, really? And whose fault is that? Did I hold a gun to their head and say, you better play football, otherwise I'll kill you? No, they choose to do it. If they want to be whores for the money, and some people may object to that particular terminology, but I meant it. If they want to be whores for the money and risk their lives and their limbs for the money, then your choice, baby. If you want to get a concussion and live the rest of your life, every time you shake your head, your brain rattles, if that's okay with you, because they're going to give you money, well, then go for it, man. What do I know? Don't blame me. Don't blame me. It's not like they were forced to do that. Come on. I used to feel, you know, I used to like boxing. I don't watch boxing because I've turned against violence. I have. I've turned against violence, you know. I don't know. I don't like to see people being hurt. If the people go into it as a contest and know that they're going to get hurt and want to get hurt and agree to get hurt, then go for it. But I don't really want to watch that. I got better things to do with my life, like eat ice cream or watch a classic TV or something, you know, and the Jeffersons or, you know, Father Knows Best. Millennials have no idea what I'm talking about. Millennials have no idea what I just said. I could be talking at far lengths. They don't know what I'm talking about. Even if I mention Happy Day, some of them go, what is that? Anyway, so I used to watch boxing. I don't watch anymore because it's too violent, but I don't mind it now because these are two grown adults who stand in front of each other without headgear and beat the crap out of each other until one falls down and passes out. And whatever. What do you want from me? What am I supposed to do? So I don't watch it, but I think it's fine if that's... They're mature adults. They're not hurting anybody else. It's not like after they knock out their opponent, they run into the crowd and start knocking them out. It's not like that. The sport that I find, you can't even call it a sport, but what I find most fascinating, and it is really such a great indication of machoism, which is a lost art these days. Every time I see a man change a baby diaper, I think that machoism is a lost art, and then I realize, no, they should be doing that. They should be doing that. She gave birth to that child, stretched her uterus into all different kinds of shapes like silly putty. Least you can do is change a diaper. What are we talking about here? What? Of course you're going to change the diaper. If the baby pees in your face, so be it. Anyway, in Paloma, Spain, I believe it is. I believe I have the proper town, city, whatever. They have the running of the bulls, which I believe occurs in the month of July. Am I right? Do I know anything, really? Not really. Doesn't matter when it occurs. I think it's July. It's in Spain. They have the running of the bulls. They take a bunch of bulls, a lot of bulls. That's a bunch of bulls. I know. They have them in an arena, and they let them out of the cage, and let them out of the arena, and they let them run down the streets of the city, and they have these macho packed guys who obviously, this is where the term Red Bull came from. Obviously, they're high on something, and they run down the streets, and the bulls chase them, and they try to outrun the bulls, and there's that's not bad enough, but it is bad enough. And again, my attitude, if the bull catches one of the guys and mauls them to death, their choice, their choice. Acting like a bunch of macho morons, that could be fitting as a prize. But that's not the funniest part of it, although I find it incredibly humorous. The funniest part is they actually have bystanders. Did I say bystanders? Sorry. They have bystanders standing on the side of the street like a parade route. And they just watch the bulls run down the street and chase these pathetic macho guys. And, I mean, what's to stop a bull from, like, just saying, whoa, why am I chasing that guy? I could maul all these people over here. Wait a minute. I mean, what's to stop the bull from doing that? I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's part of my bucket of not understanding. Some people have bucket lists of things they want to do. I have buckets and buckets of things that happen that I don't understand because they make no sense. Why in the world would an intelligent human being run down a street in Spain with a bull chasing you? Is there an explanation for this? Do these guys have girlfriends?
Oh, he is so macho. Oh, he stinks. He's an asshole. He smells of not wearing deodorant. He doesn't shower. He's chauvinistic. He's a real butthead. But he runs down the street as bulls chase him. I love him.
I mean, what does that say for the woman? What does that say for the woman? Well, that's what happens in Spain, and that's a fact.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
They have another Jurassic Park movie that has come out. There have been quite a few of them. There's been the original Jurassic Park, and then there's Jurassic Recreation, Jurassic Resurrection, Return to Jurassic Park, Picnic in the Jurassic Park, Dinosaur Revenge, Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park 7, Jurassic Park 8, Jurassic Park again, and the latest one, Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park. And what happens here is now the dinosaurs have been released into society in the near future. And when they say the near future, it's not next Thursday. It's like years from now. So these dinosaurs chasing people in the streets. It's playing in theaters. I haven't been able to sleep for the past few nights for various reasons. I'm thinking of going to the movies this afternoon to watch that movie so I can get some good sleep. Well, the theater is air-conditioned, the seats tilt back, and they're playing stupid movies. It's perfect for sleeping. Yeah, I know people are being chased by dinosaurs. How can I sleep during that? How can you not? The movie is 2 hours and 45 minutes long. Why? Why? What can you possibly have as a storyline for two hours and 45 minutes of dinosaurs chasing people? I don't know. You know, some people believe in the zombie apocalypse. That's a weird concept, isn't it? I believe even the government in secret has plans just in case a zombie apocalypse happens. That's when dead people all of a sudden come out of the ground, if they're buried. I never heard of dead people coming out of urns, but I guess it's possible. And they're full bodied, and they chase human beings and they try to eat them. And the only thing I don't understand about that is how can you not outrun a zombie? They run very slowly because they're dead. Where's the excitement? I mean, I can walk faster than that. I guess if there's a lot of zombies, then you're confused or you don't know who's a zombie and who isn't. Usually zombies are not that well dressed. Their clothes are kind of tattered. It looks like they haven't showered in weeks. Their heads are somewhat detached from their shoulders. They don't have all their limbs, which might be a reason why they're slowed down in movement. I don't think they're great obstacles or too unrecognizable, but some people in this country actually think that there will be a zombie apocalypse when zombies do rise from the ground again. I don't know how that works. And so they're armed and ready to shoot them. And there's a lot of video games that are just that. It's your video game controller is a rifle or some kind of weapon, as it is in real life. The zombies go running across the screen, and you shoot them. And when you do, their heads explode, their arms fall off. It's lovely for the kids. Oh, the kids love it. And all kinds of zombie apocalypse names, and like I've just mentioned before. It's just... And, of course, all of this gets thrown into this large bucket of things that I don't understand. Did you ever sit there every once in a while in a chair, and you have nothing else to think about? Did you ever just sit there and just say to yourselves, everybody's screwed up. Am I the only one left that isn't? No, you're not. You're also screwed up. If there's like 2 million people in the world, only 5 of them aren't screwed up. It's a very low ratio of intelligent people left. Very low rate. I mean, you're intelligent. I can tell by the way you're listening to the show. But everybody else, am I right? Am I right? Huh? Give me some applause. Give me some love. All right. It's true, though, man. It's true. Everybody's crazy these days. Because the world's a little weird. Gas prices. They say it's through the roof. Well, I don't know what that means. They're just really high. Over $5 a gallon and climbing. You have to second mortgage your home to drive to the grocery store in your car. Gas is extremely expensive. And then, of course, the stock market, if you happen to have stocks in that stock market, which would be the reason for having a stock market stock, that's going down for now. Gas prices will go down again, too. They rise, they fall, and, of course, this Putin guy is, everything was fine until he started his war on the Ukraine. That did not help matters. If you notice the timing, that's when things started going bad for all of us economy-wise. Sure, we were a little short of baby formula. Okay, so sometimes that happens. There have been times when I've gone to the store and they were out of ring-dings. They tell me, well, it's on order, truck is slow. Okay, I get it. I guess not having baby formula on the shelves is a little more coincidental, but not for people that love ring-dings. All right, I get that, you know. The price of everything has gone up. Well, you know, when I thought the pandemic was over, everything would be back to normal. Didn't figure in the fact that manufacturing was cut in half, three quarters, no one was working. You can't manufacture from your home. You have to work in a factory. That wasn't happening for well over a year. If you think it was difficult not making baby formula for like 2 or 3 months, try an entire year of not making everything else. So it's the pandemic. It's catching up from that that's caused these high prices. Most economists didn't see that coming. If you want to book an airline flight, have a good time. It'll cost you like, $7,000 to fly to Houston. I don't know. I don't know what the price is. I'm making that up, but it's a lot of money. Everything's a lot of money now. You have to think twice before you do something. It's not a question of whether you can afford it or not, although you probably can't, but it's more a question, is it worth it to do? Is it worth it right now to do that? To put myself in the quote-unquote hole. There's a fictitious hole that we have in our heads. You don't want to fall into that hole. It's hard to get out of the hole. I'm serious. Yeah, things are, things have always been bad. There's always been something going on. Hell, we had to put up with Trump for 4 years. I mean, that was no picnic. Still reeling from that. So, things were not easy. Don't forget, we were at war in Iraq, Afghanistan, for years and years and years. We had a 9/11 thing going on. I mean, let's not forget that. Things have not been perfect all the way through, and then all of a sudden now they suck. They've always sucked. It's just the degree of suckness has gone up just a bit, but it'll go down. Prices of houses are already starting to drop just a little bit, not a lot. Everything costs more than it used to. Eggs. What's up with that? What's up with the egg thing? Used to get a dozen eggs for like 99 cents, maybe $1.50 or something. Now eggs, $17,000 for a dozen. I know. All right, maybe I exaggerate. $17,000 for 18 eggs for a dozen and a half. Okay, all right. I exaggerated. Everything's gone up. Okay, I have a guest on today's show, and we'll talk to our guest momentarily, but before we do that, I'll take a little bit of a break, as every once in a while, I think that's a good thing to do. Here's a little something odd.
Ladies, are you trying to find love online and having no luck? Have you tried apps and websites like Tinder and Match and Plenty of Fish and you still can't find that special guy? Then it's time to try Larry, the first dating app that helps beautiful single women find me, Larry. I developed the Larry app when I realized that most dating apps are just filled with men who have basically a much better chance at meeting someone than I do. And I thought, that's just not right. Why shouldn't a beautiful, single, desirable, hot, sexually active, and largely indiscriminate woman, preferably blonde and between, say, 5'5" and 5'10", with maybe, I don't know, a set of B cups, maybe a C, definitely not D or double D, that's just too much to be honest. Why shouldn't they, she, you, have an easy way to find love and happiness with me? Larry. Using the Larry app is easy. Just take a picture, a recent one, not like one you've been hanging on to for a couple of years or one that you cropped your ex out of, upload it and press the I'm ready to meet Larry button. Many women who use the Larry app get a response in as little as 10 seconds. Because at Larry, I am ready for love. Right now. Like, right now. Got the phone in my hand, looking at it right now. Got my Larry app open, and I am so ready. The Larry app, the best way for hot single women, or any women, really, to meet me. Larry, guaranteed. So ready.
Dating and relationship expert Shan Boodram joins us now. She's been with us before. She's the host of the podcast Lovers and Friends, the expert on the Netflix show Too Hot to Handle, and the author of the book The Game of Desire. Somehow she has time to talk to me. You sound pretty busy, Shan.
I am pretty busy, but I always have time for love and to talk about love. So let's do it.
Okay. Well, it is that time of year when we kind of get out and meet people and socialize, and I guess this is the magic time.
It can be the magic time if you are intentional and purposeful. And so that's what's important to note. You can't just sit at home and sit back and do nothing, expect the magic to happen. You have to put the first foot forward out there. And I think it's a great summer to do that with so many countries opening up, people being more comfortable traveling, wedding season, actually having a real wedding season this year. It is a great year to make magic happen, but you've got to do the making part.
Yeah, it's like being confined and then the doors open and you got the whole world in front of you and you go, whoa, here we go. And I get, a lot of us travel during the summer. Are there dating possibilities in travel?
There are huge dating possibilities in travel. A lot more people are open to dating outside of their zip code, outside of their comfort zone, outside of their countries now. Mm. And that's being reflected with the way people are using dating apps. So there's actually an opportunity specifically on Bumble to use something called Travel Mode, which allows you to set your city ahead of time. So if I know I'm going to Portugal this summer, mm-hmm. I can set the city within that country that I'm going to in advance. So I could start swiping and matching to ensure, like anything else, I want to make sure when I go to a country, I know where I'm going to eat or I know what tours I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I also might want to know what people I might hook up with, you know, and have an interesting conversation with. Yeah. So that gives you an opportunity, again, to plan ahead and to plan to have the best time with people that you know you're going to enjoy yourself around.
You know, in the older days, these long-distance relationships kind of didn't seem to work out where someone was going off to college, you know, they were staying home. But these days, technology has changed so much that I guess relationships can actually blossom under the circumstances.
100%. More people are open. So Bumble did a survey in 2021 and said that 1 in 3 people describe their approach to dating as exploratory. Now, this means things twofold. One, they're willing to explore outside of their usual archetype. So they were broadening their opportunities for who they would give their time to, but also an exploratory in terms of, yeah, maybe they don't have to live in the same city as me, and I'm okay with that. And I think features like the video feature, which really became popular in the pandemic mm-hmm. on dating apps like Bumble, mm-hmm. that allow people to realize that there's other ways to make a connection rather than being in person. And you can sustain a meaningful, intimate bond with someone who you don't see weekly or daily. Mm-hmm. And I think that the travel mode feature and the popularity of that really speaks to how people are mm-hmm. opening up their mind and possibilities in that way.
Shan, would some people actually say that it's preferable to get to know somebody more so in this manner before you actually meet them in person? Are some people a little more comfortable that way?
I would say whether I'm meeting somebody in Australia or I'm meeting somebody who lives 10 minutes away, mm. I would love to hop on a video call with them first. Mm-hmm. If dating apps offer those features, if people are accustomed to video chats, it's just a way for us to see if there is a compatibility and to, I think the most important thing when it comes to dating is to try to avoid dater burnout. Because look, there are a lot of people looking for love, and that's a really positive thing. But that can also make it very difficult to ensure who's the right person to invest your time in and vice versa. So by using the chat features, by using the badges, by using all the tools that are available on dating apps, you could do a much better job of weeding out people that you just wouldn't have an enjoyable time with. Mm-hmm. So I'd really strongly encourage people, especially, to use the video chat services that are offered on Bumble before a date, just to make sure you got some semblance of chemistry. And you can't really figure out the full thing until you get in person, which is why we also highly encourage people, either traveling or at home, to try to get an in-person date as soon as possible to make that plan. But it definitely helps.
Let's take it a step further because you alluded to it. This doesn't necessarily just have to be a dating app. I mean, you can actually have a relationship, a friend, somebody that you're now connecting with relationship wise. Doesn't have to be a date necessarily, does it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, especially on an app like Bumble, it's really a connecting app. So there's business, there's Bumble Biz, and there's Bumble Friendship, and then there's the date. Now, don't get me wrong. You could be using dating apps and looking for business relationships or friendships. Mm-hmm. It's more advisable to use the actual tiers that you know everyone's there for the exact same reason. Intentionality is so important, which is why badges are so crucial too, to say, hey, this is why I'm on this app. I'm looking for love, or I'm looking for a great time while I travel, or I'm looking for love and possibly a great time while I travel. It's a mix of both. But I do think it's important to be honest about what you want, and then lean into what you want, but also try to make sure you're on the right platform that supports that, to make sure that you're managing expectations.
Mm. Does Bumble give advice like how to look on the videos, or when you're on a date, what to wear, how to be yourself, that kind of thing? Do they give you tips? Because a lot of people are kind of new to this.
Well, and nobody can give you a tip on how to be yourself but you, right? You got to lean into what your truth and how to look is what is right for you. But they do give strong tips in terms of what leads to success on dates are people who look like their photos, and photos that are face forward, that are clear, that they are bright, and that they show you in the best light, both lighting-wise, but also, too, like, in your natural state in essence. So there's definitely tips and tricks to align yourself with putting the best you forward, but only you know what the best you is, and you have to be honest about that.
Oh, a lot of people, I don't know if they know who the best them is, but I guess they'll find out.
Well, I think that's the amazing thing about dating apps. You get an opportunity to try, and you can always, as a matter of fact, people should edit constantly. Oh, you know what? This photo that I'm using, I'm just not really attracting the kind of people that I'm intrigued by. Let me switch it up. Not dissimilar from a resume. You know, you tweak it as you go along based on their feedback that you're getting. So this, I think that the dating world and dating apps in particular, because there is a little, you know, it's a little less scary than meeting people in person. You can play around a little bit and find your groove there.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it's the time of year to do it. So where do we go to do it?
Well, you definitely want to download Bumble to do it. But where it is and what it is totally up to you. It might be a wedding that's local, or again, it might be a country that's 100 million miles away. But just ensure, like you said, this is the summer for magic, but it's the summer where you got to make the magic. So be intentional, be purposeful, have fun, and see what comes your way.
Well, Shan definitely knows what she's talking about. So visit Bumble and find out everything you want to find out. It's always a pleasure speaking to you, Shan. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to my guest. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, well, I wish you peace.